For all things are possible. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. For all things are possible. Jesus is here. Let's sing it like this now. Lord, I believe. Can you sing it with me? Lord, I believe all things are possible. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe all things are possible. Lord, I believe. Hallelujah. Don't you feel Jesus? Glory to God. I feel the anointing of God standing here tonight. Like honey coming out of the rock, I feel the wonderful presence of Jesus. You know, last night as I started to step on the platform just before I stepped out of my little motorhome, I felt the Holy Ghost come down on me, and I felt the mighty anointing of God fall on me there in that little motorhome, and I felt Jesus as He began to talk to me and tell me about His wonderful love. And here tonight again, I feel that wonderful presence of God here in the congregation and in the audience tonight. I feel faith in Christ tonight here in this tent. Don't you love Jesus? Oh Lord, I believe. Sing it again now. Oh Lord, I believe all things are possible. Lord, I believe. Oh Lord, I receive. Oh Lord, I receive. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Oh, hallelujah. You know what? If you can't feel that tonight, glory to God, there's something wrong, folks. If you can't feel that tonight, the love of God flowing, the wonderful Spirit of Christ, the wonderful love of God enriching us, just moving over the audience and moving in and out the hearts of your soul tonight, or the windows of your soul tonight, in and out your heart tonight. What a wonderful feeling. What a great feeling. You know, the rapture is getting closer and closer and closer. Did you know that? The rapture is getting closer and closer and closer. Hallelujah. It's no wonder Enoch did like he did. No wonder that happened to Enoch the way that it did. You know, when the richness of God begins to flow, and the great, wonderful Spirit of God begins to move, all of a sudden there's something happens to you on the inside. Isn't that right? There's something that happens to a human being, and he begins to feel that light feeling, you know. He begins to feel that feeling that Peter felt when he began to walk on the water. He begins to feel, you know, he begins to feel like he's breaking loose from gravitation. Everything's losing traction. And he feels like he's... You understand what I mean? If you understand what I mean, lift your hand tonight. Hallelujah. Let's love Jesus while they're playing, can we? While they're playing on the instruments here, can we love Jesus just a minute? I want you to lift your hands a minute. Just love Jesus. Can you do that? Don't you love Jesus tonight? When you think about what God did for you, don't you love Jesus tonight? To think that God loved you the way that He loved you. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Let's just love Him tonight. Let's lift our hands up tonight. And let's give glory to God tonight for His wonderful blessings. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Your Son tonight, in the wonderful name of Jesus tonight, I pray, God, that You'll move by Your Spirit here tonight. And God, every yoke will be broken. Father, every bond will be taken away tonight. I pray, oh God, that your great presence would be here, Jesus. And Lord, that you'll move in the audience, God, that you'll heal tonight. And Father, that you'll forgive tonight. Oh, God, that you'll meet the needs tonight. Whatever it might be, Jesus. God, if it be oppression tonight from demon spirits, I pray thee, oh God, Lord, that you'll break that yoke. Father, if it be something that's driving the people tonight, I pray that you look down from heaven. Mighty God of heaven and of earth, I pray that you will break the yoke tonight. Let every yoke be broken. Father, let the strength of Christ be here tonight. I pray in the name of your darling son, Jesus, Father, that you'll do something special and outstanding every night of this meeting. May people go away from this tent night after night, saying within their hearts that it was good to come to the house of God. And Father, may they go away with a greater vision, Father, than they've ever had before in all of their lives. May they feel that extra strength, God, that extra lift. Father, that thing that can help them through life. Dear God, may the people be revived in their spirits tonight. May they be revived in their hearts tonight. May they be healed, O God, and delivered tonight. I'm asking you to do it in the name of your lovely son, Jesus. And we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You can be seated. I'd like to say that it's our happy privilege to be here tonight. Feel the warm flow of the Spirit of God. Feel His presence here tonight. And to greet such a lovely audience. You know, it's a real wonderful feeling to be able to greet an audience that hath faith. Isn't that right? To find people that have faith. And I feel faith in the audience tonight. So then it's a wonderful privilege to be here tonight and feel the presence of Jesus and to feel faith among the people tonight. Now, I want to invite you to our meeting every night, night after night. We're asking you to come and join with us. Give me your right hand of fellowship and give me your heart for Christ's sake. And let's join together here in Macon, Georgia. And let's have a move for God. Let's do something for God. The end of time is near. How many of you agree to that? Did you know that the mark of the beast is right around the corner? How many of you understand that that's true? The mark of the beast is just around the corner. And they that don't get in now, they're going to miss the move of God. Did you know that? The ones that fail to get in right away, they're going to miss the move of God. If you don't get in right away, you're not going to make that thing that you call the rapture, and you're going to go through the tribulation, and you're going to be in vile circumstance. So then tonight, while we're here, let's worship God. These few days that we're in Macon, let's link our arms together and let's do something for God. Let's pray and let's fast. Let's call on the name of Jesus until God will look down from heaven and God will move in Macon, Georgia until people are healed. Until people are saved, until people are forgiven, until Macon, Georgia is stirred all through from one end to another. And not only in the area of Macon, but all around everywhere. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. A brother back there tonight, he came by today. He said that he had seen the TV advertisement. He was down from Springfield, Missouri. And he said he was in this area driving his truck through and he had to leave a load here. And God helped him up and he said he saw this advertisement. And he said, Brother Pike, I just had to come out and be with you in the tent meeting. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? No matter where you're at, you can still do something for Jesus. And he's here with us tonight. I think that's wonderful. You that have come here tonight, I appreciate you so very much. People come from all around to hear the gospel. Isn't that right? They come from different states. They gather together, come from different towns to hear the gospel of the Son of God. So then tonight, let's love Jesus. As we talk about the Word of God, let's get acquainted and let's do something for Jesus. You know, God is blessing us in our ministry and we're reaching out around the world. not just around the nation. We're reaching out around the world. And we're having opportunity to go into South America and Central America and into the islands and into Europe and around the world. We have an opportunity to go and preach the gospel. And people are asking for our ministry in the different parts of the world. And we're just burning with fire in our soul to get there and tell them about the wonderful glory of God. I'm thrilled about this thing. You know, a lot of people, they're not thrilled about this because they don't understand. They've never really come to know Jesus the way that I have. And so then they're not thrilled about it. They're not moved with it because they've never really got acquainted with Jesus. But I'll tell you what, if you ever get acquainted with God, if you ever come to really know God, you will get excited. You will get excited. When you meet a person that tells you that they are a son of God or that they are a real Christian and they're not excited, you know that there's something wrong. You know that there's something wrong. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean by that? The Bible said rejoice forevermore. And the Bible tells us that serving God is joy. How do you agree that it's joy? Joy, peace. Have you got peace tonight? Have you got joy tonight? The Bible said it's righteousness. Have you got righteousness tonight in your life? Joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? Praise God. So then when you hear about Jesus and you come to know about Jesus, I tell you, something will happen in your life. Praise God. All right? I want to read just a little bit to you tonight from God's Word. If you've got your Bibles, let's see. We want to read tonight from over in the book of Matthews. Turn with us to the book of Matthews, the 27th chapter. I'm going to ask the building to give me just as much trouble as they can spare tonight because we're a horse. A preacher stays that way from preaching. But I want you to read with me from this 27th chapter tonight. Reading down at the 27th chapter. I think we'll read from the 52nd verse. No, the 5th verse. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. I want you to especially notice this now in the 51st, in the 52nd verse, the veil was rent in twain, and then it said the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Praise God. I want you to stand with me again, and we want to pray. Now, let's pray together. Let's just lift our hands and ask God to send the anointing on his word tonight. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to move by your spirit tonight. Lord, anoint your word. God, the thing that's important tonight is the preaching of your word. And the thing that you want us to speak about tonight is your word. And dear God, we pray in Jesus' name that the anointing would be here, God, to bring forth the word of God. I ask you tonight, Jesus, look down from heaven. As I feel the quickening tonight, Jesus, look down from heaven. Father, send that stimulation from heaven tonight. Father, send that healing tonight. Send that touch from God tonight. Father, the veil was rent in twain. Father, let the veil be rent in twain of every heart tonight. Oh God, that you might go into the deep depths of man's understanding and thinking tonight. Move by your Spirit, Jesus. Move by your Spirit, Jesus. Oh God, and do something here in your great name tonight. Move by your power. I feel your power in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated. I still feel his anointing tonight. Praise God. I got a little note up here tonight that said Brother Cleo Sarras was here. And I believe that's him sitting right over here. Brother Cleo, it's a real pleasure to have you here with us. Praise God. I appreciate this brother being with us. Last night we had Brother Joe Bell out here. We appreciate Brother Joe Bell being with us. And there's others that have come here. Our son has come a good long ways to be with us. And from night to night, we will acknowledge them and speak about them. But tonight, we want to talk about Jesus. Glad to have Brother and Sister Garrett here with us tonight. They've been visiting with us today. Haven't seen them in a good long while. But we're certainly glad to have them here with us tonight. Praise God. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. All right, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. Now, when you say the veil of the temple, you know, we who are naturally minded, being people, we can't be any other way, but we people who are naturally minded, we think according to natural terms. We don't understand spiritual things. The mystery of God is a great thing. But we think naturally. God is a spirit. So then when we think naturally, we don't get spiritual things. Because we don't have fellowship with God. To be able to fellowship God, we've got to think spiritually. But we being natural, we cannot think spiritually. That is, unless we are born again. We must first be born again before we can think spiritually. You cannot have the things of God with your natural thinking. The things of God that are spiritual, they are not relative to your intellect. They cannot come to a natural man. The Bible tells us that the things of God knoweth no man. The things of God doesn't know any man. The things of God that are spiritual doesn't come to any human being. The things of God will only come to God. Therefore, it doesn't matter how much prestige you've got. It doesn't matter how much education you've got. It doesn't matter how much wealth you've got. It doesn't matter how important you are in this world. The things of God hath no respect to person. They will not come to you. They will only come to God. Therefore, to have the things of God, we must first get God. If we're going to have the benefits of God, then we must first get God. We must get acquainted with God. We must be born again of His Spirit. And then when we are born again, beloved friend, the things of God will begin to come to us. You know why men of old had angels come and visit with them? Because they were spiritual. They got acquainted with God. They withdrew from the world. But did you know that the church doesn't want to withdraw from the world today? The church is trying so hard today to hold on to God with one hand and hold on to the world with another. But the Bible said, come out from among them and be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. If we're going to have fellowship with God, if we're going to make the translation, then we're going to have to come out from the things of the world. We're going to have to be a different people. We talk about the power of God in our life, and we talk about the things of God in our life. But yet we don't want to leave those things that are natural. We don't want to get away from carnal things. We don't want to fellowship God. Isn't that right? We'd rather do those things. We'd rather do those things that we want to do. We'd rather have the natural fellowship. The Bible said, how can you have honor of God when you seek honor one of another? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could see angels? Talk to angels. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could hear the things that God is saying? Have you ever heard the things that God says? You know, the Bible tells us that my sheep know my voice. Have you ever heard the things that God has to say? You know, we were sitting here today on the platform while they was getting it ready, and God was speaking, and I told some of the brethren, I said, brethren, we're fixing to hear about a death. I said, God lets me know that we're fixing to hear about a death. They said, well, is it among our people? I said, it's close enough in the ranks that we will know about it. And so then today, it wasn't but a few hours after that, that God had spoken to me, that they come along and they told me of something that had happened. A young fellow that we talked to, tried to reach for God, had got upset, took a shotgun, killed another boy. One of the people that was here, it was their son. It was close enough in the ranks that we knew about it. I knew when the Lord was speaking that it had to do with a young person or a person that was not real old. God talking, God speaking, God trying to tell us something. If we're going to listen to God, then we cannot listen to the world. If we're going to have fellowship with God, then we can't have fellowship with the world. Folks, you can't have God and always listen to the things out there. If you've got a radio ringing in your ears all the time, making a lot of jumble noise, looking at television all the time, always watching something just gullible, you can't have any fellowship with God. You don't have any time for God. If you're going to fill your life with the things of this world, in making money, going after the things of this world, the riches and the sports and the frolics, having the prestige and doing the things of this life, you're not going to have any time for God. You're going to have to withdraw from the world. You're going to have a little solitude. You're going to have to get away with Christ. You're going to have to get by yourself and talk with God a little, like John did on the Isle of Patmos. Those men withdrew. They talked with God. Elijah, Moses, others, they had to withdraw to talk with God. And folks, we're supposed to withdraw. Did you know that we're sons and daughters of God tonight? We're sons and daughters of God tonight. We're supposed to be spiritual. We're supposed to be where we can talk with God. You say, Brother Pike, I'm a son of God, but I can do all of these other things. I don't want to disappoint you tonight because I like glad tidings of great joy. But I'm here to tell you tonight, you're not a son of God. If you're wrapped up in the things of the world, you're not a son of God. If your mind is on the world tonight, you're not a son of God. If your mind's on the things of the world tonight, you don't have eternal life. For the Bible said to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and is peace. For serving God is joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Did you know? People are eating, drinking, having a big time. Folks, this is a day of eating and drinking. The Bible said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. They shall be eating. They shall be eating. They shall be drinking. Now you say, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? You know, people have always eaten. People have always drank. Isn't that right? People have always done that. But the Bible was speaking of excessiveness. There would be an overindulgence. They would be overindulging in these things. They would be overindulging in eating, overindulging in drinking. People can't eat at home anymore. They've got to be out to the cafe with the regularity. They have to go out to the cafe. Hundreds of thousands are picnicking everywhere. All they can think about is eating. It's a gullible moment. It's a gullible moment. They're eating everything that they can get a hold of. They're drinking everything that they can get a hold of. Passions is at an all-time high. People are gullible, not only in their appetites for natural food, but in their passions. They're literally going wild in their passions. People's passions are driving them out of their mind. People cannot control their passions anymore. And devils and demons are putting them in the insane asylum. It's literally filling up the insane asylum because people are gullible. They are not following after Christ anymore. But beloved friend, listen, I've got a warning for you tonight. Withdraw, withdraw, withdraw. While there's yet hope, come out of them and be a separate people. Let's get into things of God. Let's get on board this great ship that's about to leave. Let's get together in God. Let's get our hearts straightened out. Let's get our lives straightened out. Let's stop playing around and playing church. And let's let our light so shine that men may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Let's not be religious. Let's not be religious. You know the worst thing that ever happened to the world is when the people got religious. When the world gets religious, did you know that means you're getting down to the end? The Lord said, I'm with you, you were hot or cold. When you're cold, God can send you a revival. When you're cold, God can send you a preacher. When you're cold out there in the world, God can woo you and God can work with you. But when you get lukewarm, God cannot send you revival. When you get lukewarm, God cannot work with you. He cannot woo you. When you get lukewarm, God cannot do anything for you. If you're hot, God can bless you. God can pour out a revival. God can heal your body. God can send you prosperity. God can do great things for you. I would that you were hot or cold. But he said, because thou art lukewarm, I will spill thee out of my mouth. All of the tables of God are filled with vomit. Did you know tonight that the church world everywhere is filled with vomit? The church world, the tables of God. He said, you cannot eat at tables of devils and eat at the tables of God. And folks are trying to eat at the table of devils and demons and still eat at the tables of God. He said, my tables are filled with vomit. That is, I'll spill you out of my mouth. That's vomit to God. A lukewarm Laodicean church age. I would that you were hot or cold. You know, when you come to know God, did you know you can never be cold again? When you come to know God, you can never be cold again. When you come to have the knowledge of God, you can never be cold again. Did you know that? Once you know about God, you can never be cold again. You can only be cold when you don't know about God. When you don't know about God, you're cold. And God will send an evangelist and he'll go preach to you. And he'll tell you about the wonderful things of God. Because you're cold, you don't know. God can't require it of you. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. And the soul that sinneth shall surely die. So then God, he can't reach you unless you're cold. But when you're cold and you don't know, God can reach you. He can send somebody to you because you don't know any better. He can make allowance for your wrong because you don't know any better. The days of grace can continue because you don't know any better. And he can pour out of his spirit to give you grace, to give you love, to give you understanding because you don't know any better. But my brother, sister, when we learn about God, when we come to the place to where we understand God, when we learn about the ways of God, when we learn about the things of God, after that it's required of us. We cannot say that we are cold just because we don't repent of our sins, because we don't serve God. We can't go back into the world and say we're cold and God will have mercy on us, because he will not have mercy on us. God cannot give grace where there's a knowledge of sin. The world's in bad circumstance today. The worst thing that could have happened to them is for them to come to the knowledge of the truth. The worst thing that could have happened to the world is for them to know about God. For them to become religious. Are you aware of the fact tonight that the entire world is religious in their own way. Did you know the Bible teaches that even Antichrist himself, when he comes on the scene, will have a strange religion. He'll have a strange religion. Did you know that? When he comes on the scene, he'll have a religion. He'll have a strange religion. But folks, that's the worst thing that could have happened. Because when people become religious, when the whole world becomes religious, that means that it's closing time. It means that the end of the age is here. It means that God is about to close the door to humanity. It means that everything is at an end. It means everything is at an end. When people get religious, it means God is finished. It means God is finished with humanity because God can no longer give grace. I want you to hear me tonight. God can no longer give grace where there is a knowledge of sin, where there is a knowledge of wrong, where there is a knowledge of right. If we do not perform it, God cannot continue to give grace. Consider within yourselves, somebody offend because of the law. They go before the judge, and the judge is lenient. Then they offend again. They go before the law, before the judge, and the judge is lenient because they've never known. The judge is lenient, but once they get a knowledge of wrong, if the judge continues to be lenient, then the judge himself is guilty of the crime. If the judge will stand behind it, he's guilty of the crime. If God lets you continue on in your sins when you learn the truth, then God is just as guilty as you are. He's an accessory after the fact. If he lets the world continue on in their sins after that he's given them the knowledge of right, if he lets them go on and God continues to give grace for them to continue to do their wrongs, my brother, he is worse than they are. The Almighty God in heaven would be more corruptible than mortal man. But brother, sister, God is holy. God is righteous. God will not do that. God will not allow for that. In the world today, there are people, one wreck right after another. Cancer, TB, heart conditions, children being killed, insanity, wars, everything going wrong because they feel that God doesn't care. They feel that God will go along with them. They feel that God will make allowance for them. But I want you to know tonight, God won't do it. God won't do it. I had a vision not too long ago. I've told this vision a number of times. In this vision, I was walking up a street, going up a street. Here, I stepped into something. All of a sudden, I looked. It was like a great round thing, like a tomb. A door opened, and I found myself just shoo, sucked into it like that, and the door closed back. And there was no way to get out of it. And there I was, I stood in this great entombment. It was a long entombment, a round entombment. There was no way out of it. There was no open door. But I stood there. And as I stood there, I saw people going to and fro. These people were like zombies. Mothers with little children, looking straight ahead like a zombie, walking, not looking to the right nor the left. I saw them going to and fro like zombies. I said, my God, Lord, let me out of this place. What have I done? Where am I at? I said, God, let me out of this place. And they were walking that way. They were just going right straight headlong into hell. They were walking right off into the flames. I saw young boys and I saw young girls. And I saw them walk off into the flames of hell. And I said, no, God. I said, they're young, God. You can't do that. God said they know the truth. And it's required of them. And I saw the young boys and the young girls walk off into hell. Walk off into hell. Brother, sister, let me tell you. The Bible says that God shall in no wise acquit the wicked. God shall in no wise acquit the wicked. You must do what God tells you to do. The very youngster that killed another person, that blowed him in two with a shotgun. It ain't been but just a few months ago. I talked with him. I begged him to do right. But he wouldn't listen. He was a youngster. Now he's a murderer. He's a murderer. And the Bible said, you know that no murderer hath eternal life. Unless God has some way of looking at that thing in the right way, and I trust that he does. Then look at the circumstance. What an awful, hideous crime. Folks, we're living in an hour when we need to get right with God. We're living in an hour when we need to acknowledge the truth. We're living in an hour when we need to be shook up. I picked up a spirit then. As I said that, I picked up a spirit all of a sudden. When I said no murderer hath eternal life, I picked up a spirit because there's a person sitting under this tent tonight that's committed murder. And it struck them tonight because I picked up their spirit as it moved tonight. Let me tell you something, folks. God is moving by his spirit. God is telling us that we need to get right with God. Let's don't be foolish. It's good to shout and sing the praises of God. It's good to love the Lord. But did you know that just singing the praises of God isn't going to get you to heaven? Did you know that just belonging to a church isn't going to get you to heaven? Did you know that just confessing that you are a Christian isn't going to get you to heaven? Did you know that telling somebody that you're predestinated is not going to get you to heaven? Did you know there's a lot of people hung up on predestination? And they feel that they can do any way they want to and get to heaven. But did you know the Bible teaches that predestination is in Christ? For God has predestinated us in Christ Jesus. We are predestinated in Christ. And brother, sister, if we don't walk in the Word, if we don't abide in the Word, if we don't live in Christ, then we're not the predestinated under eternal life. It's only when we walk in the ways of God. It's only when we have Christ in our heart. It's only when we do the things that Christ told us to do. It's only when we abide in the Word that we are the predestinated of God. That is in Christ Jesus. Let us awake. It is high time that we awoke. Oh, but the world is saying, prophesy smooth things unto us. Oh, my brother, let us have a revival. Prophesy smooth things. But folks, I want you to know tonight, there is no revival in prophesying smooth things. You can have all the clubs you want to have, all the religious gatherings you want to have. You can do all the things you want to do. But when you get through, God will not save your soul unless you walk in the ways of his Son, unless you accept his word, unless you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and confess your sins. You know, the Bible said confess your sins and forsake your sins. We can't just confess our sins. We must confess our sins and forsake our sins. I have people so often, they'll say, well, Brother Pike, I don't know why I'm not prospering. I don't know why I have such a hard time. It's because you won't confess your sins and forsake them. You say, but I confess my sins, but you're not forsaking your sins. You're not forsaking your sins. Because the Bible teaches that the man that confesses his sins and forsaketh his sins, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And the word of God can't be broken. The Bible said it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. For the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. God said, I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob. I am the Lord thy God that healeth all of thy diseases. I will make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. But brother, sister, we can't play with God. He said, go thy way and sin no more, lest the worse thing come upon you. Isn't that right? Go thy way and sin no more, lest the worse thing come upon you. God will heal you tonight. God will move whatever's wrong with you tonight. But you must go your way. You cannot sin anymore. Isn't that right? You cannot sin anymore. I was thinking this morning of the meeting we had in Jeffersonville, Indiana. A woman healed of cancer, a young woman. The doctor said, by their reports, as the x-rays scanned the body, said that we cannot find any trace of cancer. Yet she'd had cancer for years, suffered continually. God healed her because the x-rays couldn't pick it up and the doctors didn't know what was wrong. But did you know she must go her way and sin no more unless the worst thing come upon her? There's a little sister sitting in the audience tonight. Swallowed a plastic leaf. For 7 years, I understand the leaf was there, down in her system, and the x-rays would not pick it up. But it is a true fact that while she was in a meeting and we was preaching on the Lord God of Elijah and challenging the faith of the people, that she spit it up. Spit it out into her hand after 7 years. And where she had problems breathing for 7 long years, she began to breathe right. God did it. But she has to go her way and sin no more, lest the worst of things should come upon her. There's a brother here in this area. We prayed the prayer of faith for him a number of years ago. He was in bad circumstance. He had a disease, a very rare disease. God healed him of it. And the doctors could not find that disease. And until today, they haven't found it. But he went his way and he sinned again. And a worse thing come upon him. He's been in a dying condition. There is a woman sitting here tonight in this audience. I saw her a little bit ago when they had x-rayed and found spots on her lungs. And we was fasting and seeking God, and we went and prayed for her. And then she went back to the doctors, and the x-ray showed that there wasn't any spots at all on her lungs. We prayed for people. When God would tell me to tell them not to have an operation when they were scheduled for operation, when the x-ray had already proved that they had to have an operation, and we prayed for them. And God said, tell them it's gone. And did you know that people, even after they are healed, even after they get inspired by God and are healed, will turn around and walk off and still lose their faith? And did you know that some of them people still went to the doctor and had operations? And did you know that the operations come up negative? And the doctors could not find anything. Why? Because God healed. Many multiplied things that we've seen God do. But folks, God doesn't play games. He said, go thy way and sin no more, lest the worse thing come upon you. You know what's wrong with the church world today? A lot of people are saying, Brother Pike, I just can't get healed. I've been to this evangelist and I've been to that evangelist and I've had him to pray for me, but I just can't get healed. You know why you can't get healed? Because you've been healed before and you've gone and done the same old thing over again, and the worst thing has come on you, and you can't find anybody to pray the prayer of faith. That's where the problem is. That's where the problem is. You know, we've got, some people's got the idea that all they have to do is dance and shout and have a good time, and that God's going to heal them and God's going to provide for them and God's going to take care of them because they're somebody special. But did you know the Jews got in that same kind of condition? Did you know that's what happened to the Jewish people? They got into that same kind of condition and they said, God is ours. We got a monopoly on God. But brother, it wasn't long before they were in bad circumstances. God kept them into the wilderness, in through the wilderness. The Bible said their feet didn't swell. God took care of them and rained manna down from heaven. He fed them. He overthrew seven nations before them. But beloved friend, when they got to the place to where they felt like they could take God, as we say, for granted, God got upset about it. I'm going to tell you something. This meeting in Macon, Georgia has to do with the cutting off of the Gentile people. You say, Brother Pike, you're just another man. You don't have a right to say that. But if God told Noah what he told him, and he had a right to say it, then he's told me what he told me, and I've got a right to say it tonight. And I tell you that this meeting in Macon, Georgia has to do with the end of the world and the cutting off of the Gentile people. And we're here tonight in Macon by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Beloved friend, I love you tonight. I want to see you healed tonight. God loves you tonight. He wants to see you saved tonight. He wants to reach you tonight. It is not his will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance and have everlasting life. It is God's will tonight that you be healed and saved and forgiven. The Bible said that God hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He'd rather the wicked repent. But the Bible does say, beware you that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. The Bible does say that the prayer of the wicked is abomination in the sight of God. The Bible does say the offering of the wicked is abomination in the sight of God. A lot of times we feel because we give in the offering, because we pray, that God will accept it. But the Bible said the prayer of the wicked is abomination in the sight of God. The offering of the wicked is abomination in the sight of God. So then there's no peace to the wicked. My brother, we're living in a sinful, wicked, adulterous generation. We're living in a generation that's seeking after a sign. They're running from coast to coast. In the days of the Jews, they said, show us a sign. Jesus was opening the blind eyes. Jesus was unstopping the deaf ears. Jesus was raising the dead. But they were so blind they couldn't see it. They said, we want some signs. And Jesus was working miracles all around them. We want a sign, they said. Jesus, knowing that they were blind, he said, I don't have any signs for you. I don't have any signs for you. I'm not going to give you any signs. How could he give them any signs? When people are so blind that they sit and see the miraculous and they see these things happen and then they say, give us a sign. How can God give them a sign? There is no signs he can give them because they're blinded. The God of this world has blinded their eyes that they can't see. Isn't that right? I don't have any signs for you. But a wicked generation seeks after a sign. He said, I'll give you just one sign, that's all. That's the sign of Jonah, the resurrection. When the preacher comes preaching the resurrection of Christ, that's the only sign you'll ever get. When he preaches the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you need to repent of your sins and get right with God. I'll give you the sign of the resurrection of the dead. That's the only sign I'm giving to humanity. Isn't that right? Brother, to me, that's a good enough sign. Did you know that? It isn't that God doesn't want to give us a sign. God will give us signs. If we've got our eyes open and if we can believe, we can see all kinds of signs. We can see the miracles of God, but when we get to be a wicked generation just seeking after a sign, we get blind and we don't have any signs because we can't see any signs. That's where the world is tonight. They're blinded. You know, speaking of signs, just the other night, the Lord spoke to my heart and God said to me, ask a sign of me. I said, Lord, I'm not going to ask a sign of you. I said, I'm not going to ask a sign of you. I believe, God. I don't have to have a sign to believe. I believe the word of God. I've never asked a sign of you in my life. I'm not going to ask a sign of you. But the Lord said, I want to give you a sign. I want to give you a sign. My eyes must be open. You know, if your eyes are open, you can see signs. Did you know that? He confirms the minister with signs and wonders following. He said, I want to give you a sign. And I told him a certain thing that I wanted him to do. I said, now God, you're telling me that you want to do this. Not because I'm asking, but because you're telling me you want to do this. He said to confirm what I'm telling you, that the meeting that's coming up in Macon, Georgia is what I've told you that it is. And the things that's happening here at this place where you're preaching at that very time is what I told you it is. He said, I want to give you a sign. I said, I told him what I wanted. I stepped out that night on a Sunday night, and God put a sign in the heaven last Sunday night. And the sign reached all the way from coast to coast. All the way from California to Florida. It filled the heavens as the heavens turned red. It filled the heavens. And one fella said it was so bright in one place he could cut his headlights off and drive without the use of his headlights at about 12 o'clock at night. The weather, people couldn't explain it. The police couldn't explain it. People was calling in and said it's the coming of the Lord. One science right after another trying to explain it. But the paper stated that they could not get together on their explanations. They all disputed over it. And they never could get together on it. Why? Because God was putting something there to let me know that what he had told me is right. You say, what did he tell you, Brother Pike? He said, the days of the Gentiles are coming to an end. And that this Macon meeting has to do with it. And the redness that filled the heavens had to do with the blood coming off the mercy seat that all the nation might see it. Beloved friend, I love you tonight. The Bible said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. You say, Brother Pike, are you trying to scare me into salvation? I wish that I could. If I could, I'd scare the entire world into it. If I could scare the world tonight and get them saved, brother, I'd scare them tonight. I'd scare them until they were so scared they'd all fall into the altar and repent. But you can't scare people into salvation. I'm just telling you the things of God tonight that you might judge it, that you might think, that you might realize it's a late hour, and that you might do something about it, that you might get right with God, beloved friend. I'm just telling you it's high time that you woke. I'm going to say this and I'm going to close tonight. A lot of things we'd like to say. Did you know the Bible said at the midnight cry, all of them virgins was asleep? You know, the church world don't like for you to preach like that. Isn't that right? The church world doesn't like for you to preach like that. The Bible said at the midnight cry, all of the virgins was asleep. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, we are waiting for the rapture. Are you insulting us? Are you telling me that we're not right with God? That we're the church of the living God and we are asleep? The Bible said at the midnight cry, when God gave that cry, all of them was asleep. You say, well, then, Brother Pike, who gave the cry? He said, I've got some watchmen that I've set upon your wall that will never hold a peace. In the Old Testament, that watchman was on the wall. If anybody got near that wall during the night, that watchman cried out. God's got some watchmen on the wall tonight. But, brother, all of them virgins was asleep. Did you know tonight the church is so much like the world and the world is so much like the church that you can't tell the difference anymore? Did you know they look alike, they dress alike, they talk alike, they act alike? You know what's wrong with them? They are asleep. They are asleep. There's so much evil that's crept into the church. There's so much formality that's crept into the church. The Christians and the saints of God have been put under so much pressure, beloved friend, until they can't lift their heads anymore. They have been pushed into games. They've been pushed into programs. They've been pushed into sports until they feel like God is interested in the things that they're interested in. Did you know that? In this vision that I saw. Now, hold on to your seats because I'll get a repercussion out of this. I always do. But in this vision that I saw, I heard a great noise. And I went over to where the noise was. And it was a great open air to do. And people was having a great time. And they were praising the Lord. And I said, glory to God. What a revival. And I went over there to this great revival. When I got there to the revival, it was a football game. It was sports. And the people was praying for their favorite team. Come on, people, are you listening tonight? They were praying for their favorite team to win. God said it's abomination in my sight. Somebody say, I love Jesus. God said it's abomination in my sight to think that you'd lift up the honorable, lovely, worthy name of God for some measly, beggarly element of the world. God said it's abomination in my sight, son. I said, my God. I said, my God, what's wrong with them people? Now listen. God said, the tomb that I placed you in, he said, those people that was wandering up and down in that tomb going to and fro, he said, that was the people that you saw at the ball games. Are you listening, brother, sister? Are you listening tonight? Are you listening tonight? You say, Brother Pike, I can't receive that. I ask you tonight, do you think that Peter and James and John, the prophets of old, and Jesus would be sitting out at some ball game praying for their team and souls dying and going to hell? Do you think God is a God like that? Don't you know the world has got perverted? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm going to close in saying this tonight. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I believe everything is all right. I'll tell you this, friend, and this is the truth from my heart. Tonight, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If the Lord Jesus Christ would destroy the entire world and save just one little family that found favor in his sight, and yet the family didn't find favor, just the head of the family. You can be sure if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he'll do it tonight. Now listen at this astounding fact. Did you know in the days of Noah there was only 8 saved? Did you know the Bible said as it was in the days of Noah? All flesh had corrupted its way before God. Did you know that later on when Sodom and Gomorrah come, God cut that half in two and he couldn't find 8? He only found half as many, just 4. Did you know that men got so wicked that though God delivered millions of people or hundreds of thousands of people later on and brought thousands upon thousands of people out of Egypt, did you know that when God got ready to take them into Canaan land, he had to cut it in halves again and only 2 of them got in? He started with 8, he had to cut it down to 4, and when he got to Canaan, he had 2. Isn't that right? And brother, since that time, things has got so bad that when he got over to Calvary, there wasn't nobody left, but he had to cut it in 2 again. There was nobody left but 1. Jesus Christ alone was made heir to the glory of God. And unless you're in his body tonight, unless you're in his family tonight, unless you go to God through him tonight, you don't have any right to eternal life. You love Jesus? Where are we standing tonight, friend? I want you to stand with me tonight. I want you to consider the things that we're saying tonight. They were all asleep. All of them were asleep. But you know, one glorious thing that we can thank God for. Some of them went to sleep with the oil. Hallelujah. Some of them wasn't interested in all them things. Do you love Jesus? I said some of them folks wasn't interested in all these worldly frolics. They just got under so much pressure that they got so confused they didn't know what to do. And they just laid down the sword and said, well, what can we do? Like down in Babylon, they said, come on, sing us a song. They said, we've hang our harps on the willer. We can't sing a song down here in a strange country. And they just quit. They just quit. They just got under so much pressure. They just quit. And then when a real man of God come along preaching the truth, why, they blackballed him from the churches and they turned him away from the churches and they wouldn't let him come in and they wouldn't let the congregations go out and back him up. Somebody say amen. And they quenched the fire of God. But glory to God, the fire of God is beginning to move in the land. Because it was a midnight cry. And the Bible said at the midnight cry, though the saints of God had been wore out, yet he said the saints of God shall get a hold of something. They shall get a hold of something. They shall get a hold of something, and they shall rise, and they shall take the kingdom, and they shall possess it forever and ever. There's some of them still got that awe. They still got that Holy Ghost. Glory to God, and all you got to do is just spark around a little bit. You know, if there's gas somewhere, as long as there ain't no matches struck, you won't see any fire. But if there's gasoline, just strike a match. And after a while, things will begin to flame up. There's still some oil around somewhere. Glory to God. And the Bible said at the midnight cry, some of them people begin to shake themselves like old Samson. And they begin to think a little bit. And they begin to reason a little bit. And they begin to say, you know what? We can turn this fella off. We can turn these things off. We can forget about him. But did you know what he's saying makes sense to me? I think maybe we ought to check it out. Maybe we ought to look in the Bible. Maybe we ought to reason this thing out a little bit. Maybe it is of God. And about that time a spark came. And about that time a flame came. And about that time the light came. For the Bible said it shall come to pass in the evening time there shall be light. Though gross darkness shall cover the people, yet in the evening time it shall come to pass there shall be light. There shall be light. Oh, beloved friend, there's some light springing up. There's some light springing up. And these virgins rose up and they trimmed their lamps and they come out of that darkness. There was a rending of the veil. There was a separation. We're going to enlarge on it one night. But there was a rending of the veil. Oh, I just love to get into those spiritual things concerning the rending of the veil. It just reels my soul. But my friend, tonight, there's the rending of the veil taking place. It's going to be a separation. You love Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Can you lift up your hands while they're playing a little bit on the instruments tonight? Can you lift your hands up? The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. You know, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Isn't that right? Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. A lot of people, you know, they would have you think that you're departing from the faith when you leave their doctrine, when you leave their way of life, when you leave their thing that they're doing. But beloved friend, that's not departing from the faith. The Bible said faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. In the last days, many will leave the word of God. They'll depart from the faith. He said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. See, faith cometh by the hearing of God's word. Tonight, the only way to depart from the faith is to leave God's word. Isn't that right? If you're holding on to God's word, you don't have to worry about doctrines and disciplines. That's the only doctrine you need. That's the only discipline you need. Are you listening tonight? So then, check yourself tonight. See if the oil is still there. See if the oil is still there. See if the oil is still there. Hallelujah. See if the oil is still there tonight. Is it still there tonight? Glory to God, I feel faith here. Brother Stan, I feel faith here tonight. Glory to God, I feel faith here tonight. I feel open hearts here tonight. I feel the sweet presence of Jesus. I feel people accepting the word of God here tonight. Hallelujah. What a blessing it will be for Macon, Georgia. What a blessing it will be for Macon, Georgia. If Macon, Georgia will accept the truth, if God men in Macon and God women in Macon will stand up at this last detrimental hour, if they'll stand up and they'll say, God, we're going to stand for you. We might have made mistakes. Our light might have been put out. All of these things might have happened, but we're going to stand for God. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. Don't you love Jesus tonight? God bless you. While they're praying on the instruments tonight, oh friend, oh, I feel the Holy Spirit, don't you? I feel the Holy Spirit. Glory to God, Jesus loves you tonight. You say, you don't know whether he loves me or not, Brother Pike. The way I feel your spirit tonight flowing with my spirit, after you've heard the word of God, after you've heard it sharp like a sword, and you're sweet in your spirit, God's blessings is over you. God's blessings is reaching out for you. You can shake the foundations of the earth. You can shake the foundations of the earth. Let's lift those hands tonight. Will you do that for me? Will you do that for me? Oh, blessed friend, tonight. We're living in a dark age. We're living in a bad time. We're living in a bad age. Everything is going wrong. People are shooting the president. People are killing our leaders. Our little boys and girls, just little folks, are being thrown into prison. Their little lives are being taken. They're being gunned down and broken to pieces. What a sad moment. What a sad moment. What are we going to do about it? We've got to turn to Jesus. We've got to turn to Jesus. No one can help us but Jesus. While they're playing tonight, if you love Jesus, if you love Jesus, I want you to step out and come up here tonight. If you love Jesus tonight, I want you to step out and come up here tonight. If you love Jesus, I want you to step out and come up here tonight. I want to see you up here tonight, folks. If you love Jesus, I want to see you gather around this altar tonight. If you love Jesus, if you're here tonight and you care about Jesus, if you want healing for your body, if you want salvation for your soul, if you want deliverance tonight, I want to see you step out for Jesus tonight. Step out tonight and come up here tonight and let God do something for you. Step out tonight and call upon the name of Jesus and let the Lord do something for you. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Pike, but I've done such and such. I know that. We're all guilty. We're all wretched. But I'm glad the blood of Jesus still atones. I'm glad the blood of Jesus still applies. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Can you say hallelujah? I said, can you say hallelujah? Can you praise the Lord tonight? Can you lift up your hands to God tonight and make a joyful noise unto the Lord tonight? Can you do it? I want you to lift up your hands with me tonight. I want you to lift up your hands with me tonight. I believe God will do something for you tonight, friend. I believe God will save you tonight. I believe God will heal you tonight. I believe God will break the yoke tonight. God can restore the joy of your salvation tonight. Hallelujah. Don't you feel Him tonight? Can you believe tonight? Can you believe? The Bible said all things are possible to them that believe. All things are possible to them that believe. All things are possible to them that believe. If thou canst believe, can you believe tonight? Do you believe tonight? What a challenge to man tonight. God, the great eternal spirit, looking down from heaven and saying to you tonight, can you believe? Can you believe? God looking down from heaven tonight saying, can you believe? Can you believe? I ask you, can you believe tonight? If you can believe, God said you can have whatever you want. You can have whatever you want. Just decree a thing in your heart tonight and see if it doesn't come to pass. Decree a thing in your heart tonight and see if it doesn't come to pass. As God challenges your faith tonight, decree a thing in your heart and see if it doesn't come to pass tonight, friend. I want you to do that tonight. I want you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to lift up your face to God tonight. Lift up your heart to God tonight. And I want to pray with you. I want to put my faith to work with you. I want you to believe with me that I can fulfill my purpose in God. And I want to believe with you that you can fulfill your purpose. And brother, sister, I'll pray on my knees. I'll call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I've called on His name from night until morning. I've seen the day break calling upon the name of the Lord. And I'll call on His name for you. And I'll pray for you. And I'll ask God to do something for you if you'll pray and believe with me tonight. I want you to believe with me tonight. I promise you in the name of the Lord that if you'll do this with me tonight, if you'll pray with me tonight, and if you'll believe with me tonight, you will be healed, you will be saved, you will be rewarded, and you'll come back testifying in these services that God has done great things for you. That God has done great things for you. That God has done great things for you. Hallelujah. You know, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? You know, some people die. Are you listening? Some people die. But all people don't die. Some people are dead and in the grave. Their life is gone, but some people are not dead. Some people are not dead. They're still breathing. They're still living. Some people get what they want from God. Others don't get it. Others don't get it. Some stands rewarded. They got it. Others didn't get it. Others didn't get it. Like the dead man, he didn't stay alive, but you that are alive, you didn't die. You didn't die. So then some people get what they want from God. Others doesn't get it. But because some men die, that doesn't mean that there's not anybody alive anymore. And just because some people doesn't get what they want from God, it doesn't mean that God isn't rewarding anymore. It doesn't mean that everybody's not getting it anymore. Somebody believe God tonight. I feel faith, folks. I feel faith tonight. I feel faith tonight. Hallelujah. Let's believe God tonight. I want you to lift your hands with me. Will you do that? Close your eyes with me tonight. Whatever there is tonight, beloved friend, that you want, I believe God will give it to you. I'm going to join my faith with you tonight. I'm going to join my faith with you tonight. I'm going to join my faith with you tonight. And I'm going to ask God to do something for you. And I believe that God's going to do it for you. I believe you're going to be rewarded. There's people standing in this audience tonight that can testify that because they dare believe God, God done the thing that they asked Him to do. And tonight, as I pray with you, I want you to believe tonight. And I promise you that God will do the thing that you want Him to do. You know, in believing God, we've asked God to help us in the past. And did you know, I've seen the time when I didn't have bread. I didn't have anything. But I trusted God and believed God. Did you know today we don't bother people for offerings? We don't take personal offerings. But did you know that God has given us millions of dollars to carry the gospel around the world? Do you know that God has stood with us because we dared to believe God? Did you know that God will do the same thing for you tonight? Will you believe God with me tonight as we pray? I'll pray with you tonight, and we'll believe God, beloved friend. We'll believe God tonight together. Hallelujah. Just close your eyes. Lift up your hands tonight. Close your eyes and lift up your hands tonight. And let me pray with you. Let me pray with you. Hallelujah. Let me pray with you tonight. Hallelujah. Let me pray with you. I feel your faith tonight. Dear God, heal this body tonight. Completely heal this body. God, you told me that you healed this body. You've healed this body, oh God. Help this person tonight to walk in your way. Help her not to doubt. Help her to know tonight that you've healed in the name of the Son of God. Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Can you say hallelujah? Glory to God. Can you say hallelujah? Can you say hallelujah? I feel Jesus tonight. Let's pray together tonight. Let's believe together tonight. Let's believe together tonight. Will you believe with me tonight? Will you do it tonight, Christian friend? Let's believe together. Let's believe together. You men of God out there. You men of God out there, I want you to believe with me. I want you to believe with me. You women that are real, genuine women of God tonight. I want you to believe with me tonight. Some of you are real Christians tonight. I want you to stand in for the weak tonight. I want you to make up the gap tonight. I want you to help us tonight. Will you do it tonight? We're fixing to pray right now. We're fixing to pray right now. I want you to pray. I want you to believe. I want you to believe. Let's believe now. Let's believe. Can we? Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name tonight. Almighty God, in Jesus' name tonight. I ask you to look down upon this audience. I ask you to look down from heaven tonight. I ask you to stretch out your healing hand tonight over this audience, Father. Father, heal tonight. May your spirit heal tonight. God, heal and forgive tonight. I want a good report, Father. The elders obtained a good report by faith, Heavenly Father. And tonight I'm expecting a good report, Father. Move upon their faith tonight. Great, wonderful, honorable God tonight. Great, wonderful, Heavenly Father. I know that Thou hearest me. Heal tonight. Deliver tonight. In the name of Jesus, my Father, I want you to heal and save tonight. Forgive sins. Filled with the Holy Ghost tonight. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Move back the darkness tonight, Father. Do away with all of the darkness tonight. Move by your Spirit. Do away with the darkness tonight. Do away with the darkness tonight. Jesus, do away with the darkness tonight. Let the light come in tonight. Let them light their candles tonight, Father. Let them light their candles tonight. Let their light so shine tonight, Father. Let them light their candles. I feel them lighting their candles tonight. I feel them lighting the candles tonight, Father. Move by your Spirit and heal and save and forgive tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus.